Hey, insiders, Preet here. This is a recording of my weekly note, Folly, Fritos, and Forward Progress. As always, write to us with your thoughts and questions at letters@cafe.com. We'd love to hear from you. Dear listener, I know, as they say, that facts don't care about my feelings, but surely it is fair for my feelings to be shaped by facts. The problem is, the facts are a mixed bag right now, during what feels like a too slow transition from calamity to calmer days. It is not the best of times, but it is certainly not the worst of times. For me, every day brings a different feeling about how full or empty the proverbial glass is. Take the pandemic. There is a real feeling of reopening and renewal. Large percentages of Americans are vaccinated. Dr. Fauci says masks can come off outside, and Broadway reopens in September. At times, one feels euphoric. At the same time, there is such COVID devastation in India that one not only weeps for those victims, but also worries that the virus will mutate and boomerang back to us unless Hercules is enlisted to avert a second global disaster. Even here at home, the news is not all good. Lots of folks have gotten the jab, but resistance remains widespread among certain groups, especially Trump supporters. It did not help that the former president reportedly got his shots in secret. Some doctors worry that certain communities will not reach herd immunity where hesitancy is high. Then came the news this week about a vaccination ploy that is equal parts genius and farce. GOP Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio just announced a new kind of irresistible lottery. Every week for 5 weeks, a randomly selected vaccinated resident will win a $1 million jackpot. One can almost imagine DeWine putting his pinky finger to his lips, a la Dr. Evil from Austin Powers, addressing the camera and devilishly intoning,
$1 million.
There was begrudging respect for the gambit. Legal writer Ellie Mistal tweeted, quote, "This idea makes Americans look so f***ing dumb. It's also a good idea," end quote. As someone else quipped, "There's nothing wrong with America that can't be fixed by something else that's wrong with America." The hope, it seems, is to take advantage of the terrible fluency with probability and risk that is the hallmark of some vax resistors. The idea is that the terrible downside math that causes them to irrationally avoid the shot will be overwhelmed by the terrible upside math that causes them to irrationally play the lottery. Hey, you gotta be in it to win it. Whatever works. Now take the January 6th insurrection. That's another somewhat mixed bag. Just as the Justice Department ramps up arrests and sheds more light on what happened that day at the Capitol, the campaign of propaganda and erasure intensifies as well. Parroting some of his Republican colleagues in the House this week, GOP rep Andrew Clyde said this with a straight face, quote, "You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit," end quote. What? Some cable networks exposed the utter absurdity of the statement by playing the congressman's words alongside the actual footage he bizarrely characterized as benign. The damage and death erased, injuries to 140 officers ignored, and the chance of hang Mike Pence glossed over as an insurrection is recast as tourism. Fact fights with fiction, while the political impasse over the establishment of a 9/11-style commission drags on. In a similar vein, one had reason to cheer when a high-ranking, hard-right Republican put country over party in deriding the big lie about the 2020 election being stolen. Maybe this could be a bipartisan path to unity and healing for the country. Not so fast. That leader, Representative Liz Cheney, was purged from the leadership this week for speaking that truth. There is a bit of intellectual whiplash in seeing folly mixed with forward progress, to see continuing political rot in the face of pandemic recovery. On the whole, though, one feels optimistic. Moments of unseriousness and frivolity seem less out of place. I see more smiles, though this may be the result of a decrease in masks rather than an increase in mirth. I haven't done any hard research. Still, there is anecdotal evidence of a shift in mood. The other day, I posted a silly throwaway tweet, quote, "I'm a grown man who still eats Fritos sometimes. Needed to confess that. Thank you," end quote. As I indulged in a small bag of corn chips, it had occurred to me I still associate the snack with fourth grade, when my mother would include Fritos with our bologna sandwiches for school and the best jingle on TV was this.
Muncha, buncha, muncha, buncha, muncha, buncha, muncha, buncha, free toast go with lunch.
It seemed odd I could still crave them 45 years later, albeit without lunch. The response was an avalanche. People advocated for their favorite flavors. There are many more varieties in the four decades since those ads. They wrote about Frito pies, Fritos with chili, Fritos with hummus, Fritos with eggs, and Fritos walking tacos. None other than Dan Rather, the legendary journalist, weighed in to assuage my embarrassment. Quote, "No need to feel any shame in this, Atpreet Bharara. As a Fritos fan many years your senior, I can assure you, the taste of corn chip goodness never grows old," end quote. In the 2 days since I posted the tweet, it has racked up more than 4.5 million impressions. At some point, Fritos began trending nationally, just below Prego sauce, after someone posted a video showing the sauce being poured directly onto a kitchen countertop in what was billed as the ultimate spaghetti trick. When I saw the snack surprisingly trending on Twitter, I posted this reaction, quote, "Fritos trends as a nation heals," end quote. I was joking, of course, but not completely. My best, Preet.